James chapter 1. Appreciate the good preaching. I had a thrill in my heart, my soul. Thank God for the man of God. I have a special place in my heart for God's men. A preacher. I wouldn't stoop to be the president of the United States, especially today. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Not if. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 12, in verse 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We are told by the psalmist in Psalms 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. Our Father, we come to thee tonight thanking you once again for the blessed privilege and the opportunity it is to open the blessed old book. We thank you, Lord, for the anointed man of God that's preceded us, that has delivered his heart tonight. I thank you for the well-put word. I pray now that we'll pick up where he left off. Blessed Holy Ghost, stir your children. I pray tonight that you would open our eyes. You would enlighten us. You would draw us unto yourself. For if you do not do the work, it'll not get done. We are nothing in ourselves, but everything in thee. Anoint us afresh and anew. Help your children tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we come to the book of James, we find very quickly that James has something heavy upon his heart. He is a man that knows what he's talking about, and he is a man that gives us something that we can rely upon, we can trust, and we can rest assured if we will listen to what he's telling us. It will help us in our everyday walk with our precious Lord. The book of James, to many, is a controversial book. The reason being, because it tells it like it is, and it says if you have it on the inside, it will be shown on the outside. When you compare the book of Romans with the book of James, you find several things that is very interesting. James is talking about a faith that is proof of our salvation. For he says in chapter 2 and verse 24, ye see then. In other words, if you talk it, walk it. The book of Romans deals with the imputed righteousness of God saving a man. We cannot save ourselves. It is the work of God and God alone. James deals with the proof of that righteousness to others. Romans works it in by God. James works it out by God as results of what God has worked in you. Romans is the root. James is the fruit. Romans is our position. James is our practice. I thank God I am positioned in heaven forevermore. My position will never change. The night that God saved me, thank God there was peace with God. There's been times over these 38 years that I have not had the peace of God. There's a big difference with the peace with God, Romans, and the peace of God, James. There's a big difference in my position and my practice. My position will never change, but my practice changes from day to day. When we see the book of James, we are told very quickly that James is a servant, literally a bond servant, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very interesting to me, for James, I believe, of the three Jameses in the Bible, I believe this James is the half-brother of our Lord. I do not believe that James got saved until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. James walked with our Lord, was in the house with our Lord, was reared with our Lord, and no doubt got mad at our Lord because our Lord was perfect. James could not understand how this man that claims to be God and this man that's preaching against what he believes as far as Judaism is concerned. Our Lord did not preach against Judaism. He preached against apostate Judaism. And same as we do in our day, we preach against apostate Christianity. We stand against that and we reveal what truth is. And that's what our Lord did. To make a long story short, James did not get saved until after, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the appearing of our Lord to him. Then I believe James says, "My God and my Lord, here's one that I did not believe. Here's one that I was jealous of. Here's one that I could not understand. But unto God, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. This one that's appeared to me has saved my soul. And brethren, I want to tell you, he's real. He's God. He's my half-brother. But glory be unto God. More than that, he's my Savior." So James identifies very quickly, his biography in chapter 1, verse 1, letting us know he's a bondservant. He didn't come on the scene saying, "I'm the half-brother of the Lord, the sovereign God of heaven. I've got clout. I've got all of this." James says, humbles himself down and says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Now, the theme of this book is the perfect man of maturity. If you will look with me in verse 4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work." This refers to God's purpose in trials. This talk tells us that God is going to get our attention. I read that scripture to you in Peter. I want to call this message tonight, "This is no strange thing." For he says, don't think this strange. If you are saved, you belong to God, you are going to be tried. And so God sends trials to get our attention. Verse 17, chapter 1, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Here we see God, not God's perfect work, but God's perfect gift. This is not God's purpose. This deals with God's provisions. For in this verse, in God's provisions in trials, is to make us like Him. Don't ever lose sight of this, no matter what preacher preaches it, no matter who stands behind the pulpit, no matter how you read your Bible. The ultimate goal for every trial and suffering that a child of God goes through, the bottom line is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. Verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," we have seen the perfect work, God's purpose in trial. We see the perfect gift, God's provision in trial. We see the perfect law, God's prescription in trials. What are you saying? Well, this is the pill that God gives us and prescribes for us when we are in trials and in trouble and suffering and in a valley. We look into the perfect law of liberty. We look into the blessed Word of God to get our help, to get our medicine, to help us along the way. In chapter 1, we see the perfect man in suffering. In chapter 2, we see the perfect man in spirituality. In chapter 3, we see the perfect man in speech. In chapter 4, we see the perfect man in sanctification. And in chapter 5, we see the perfect man in the second coming. It's a matter of fact, it's a blessed privilege tonight to share this with you. Oh, in chapter 1 and verse 2, he talks about the trials. In chapter 5 and verse 7, he talks about the second coming. To me, that is the entire picture of the child of God. For from the day that you are birthed into the family of God, you are going to encounter trials. And thank God our life will end, not with trials, but it will end with the trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound, and we are going to be with Him forevermore. The test of the book, as we look at tonight, is twofold. Chapter 3 and verse 1, when we look at the book of James, we find that it is to settle inward division. In chapter 3 and verse 1, James says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." The problem in that day, as it is in our day, is everybody wanted to be the chief. Everybody wanted to be the leader. Everybody wanted. I'm going to tell you something. I've been pastoring 32 years, going on 33 years. Been preaching 38 years. I'm going to tell you this right now. When I first started preaching, I'd want to preach every time somebody got around me. Every time I'd go to a meeting, boy, I'd just stand there chopping at the bits to get it. But I'm going to tell you right now, the more you walk with God, and the more you get in this book, and the more you realize the awesome responsibility that it is every time you open this Bible and you give the chief the Word of God, you realize you're going to give an account for that. It's an awesome thing. So now, if I preach, fine. If I don't, fine. I want it to be done by His will. James is saying, it's an awesome responsibility when you teach people, when you preach to people, when you share the Word of God with people. You better know what you're talking about. You better know this book, and you better know what you're saying. And that does not come overnight. That comes in a state of learning, praying, reading, searching, seeking, finding, looking, suffering. Trials upon trials upon trials. It's no strange thing that we have trials. For the spiritual man is patient in his testing. In chapter 1, the spiritual man practices the truth. In chapter 2, his power has power over his tongue. In chapter 3, and he's a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. In chapter 4, and he's a prideful in his troubles. In chapter 5, how does he get to this place? Trials. Trials, trials. Suffering, suffering, suffering. James could be called the Proverbs of the New Testament, and certainly can be viewed as a practical commentary on the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. There's more references to the Sermon on the Mount in the book of James than any other book in the Bible. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is seen all through the book of James. Wisdom does not come overnight.
You can get knowledge and obtain knowledge and acquire knowledge. And you can have all the knowledge and you can brag about your knowledge. But the wisdom comes in how to use that knowledge that God gives you. I've learned over the years, and it used to be, young man of God, I'm not browbeating you. I'm not beating you up. And I'm not telling you how to run your church. But you don't have to drop a bomb sometimes when just a firecracker will do. Sometimes all you have to do is hold it up. You don't even have to light the fuse. How do you get that? Wisdom. And it comes from trial and error. Trying it this way. Trying it that way. Brother so-and-so done it this way, so I'm going to do it. It was a blessed day in this preacher's life when I realized, praise be unto God, that this is the brother that's going to give an account to God for the church that he's put me over. If brother so-and-so does it one way, let him do it. I'm going to do it the way God shows me to do it. This is no strange thing. But preacher, I'm suffering. It's no strange thing for a child of God. But preacher, I've been stabbed in the back, as the dear man of God has already said. That's no strange thing. My God, if you pass the Baptist, they don't make enough armor. So the task is to settle inward division and to settle outward devastation. This book lets us know if we have it on the inside, we can make it, thank God, on the outside. Now briefly, to be sustained. Verse 1 through 4. We see the strength of internal virtue. In verse 1, notice that word again, greetings. That's a very interesting word. That word, James says, of all things, and notice what he says, to the tribes that are scattered abroad. If they've been scattered, it means there's been some turmoil. If they've been scattered, it means they're on the run. If they've been scattered, it means there's some fear. If they've been scattered, it means something has upset Applecott. They were on the run, and they were fearful, and they were scattered because of thy belief. They were Jews. And buddy, when they said that Jesus Christ was the only Savior and the only way to heaven and was equal with God because He was God, that crowd did not open up their arms and receive them gladly. Remember, they are the ones that put Him on the cross. The religious crowd, God is sick in the stomach of religious crowd. Your religion may be good enough for you to live by, but it's not good enough for you to die by. James says you're in turmoil. Here's that word. You're being tried. You're going through the fire. Is it something that they done wrong? No! 1,000 times no! It was something they done right! But they're scattered. Dear God, has it been times in your life that you feel like everything that you stand for, everything you stand on, everything you believe, everything you're doing, every truth you're trying to preach, it feels like it's just scattered everywhere? But James, of all the things he could have said, he didn't say comfort. He said, greetings. This is no strange thing, boys. My God, why should this be strange? Make it not strange when these fiery trials come. Don't even entertain the thought. It's not strange, it's normal.
I'd hold that rope, be on the mountaintop shouting it out and down in the valley crying out to God. I'll just be truthful to you right now. But you know where the maturity comes, that perfect man? You know where that maturity comes? You know where God strengthens? You know where God does it? And I ain't talking about hell either. You may think you there, but you ain't it. That word actually comes from a root meaning, which means come. Satisfaction. Thank God. Though you're scattered abroad, though you're burdened down, though you have all these trials upon you, though you don't know what's going on, there's satisfaction on the inside of knowing that you are serving the holy and the righteous God of heaven. Thank God He's going to see you through. He'll see to it. He'll take care of you. In a valley? So? No strange thing. Dear God, preacher, boy, I'm down and out. So? My Lord. This is just normal activity. I'm satisfied. Why? Because my prescription is the pill of the Word of God that in my deepest valley, glory to be unto God, I've taken the right pill. And He said, you can be satisfied that I'll not leave or forsake you, that I'll not put anything on you that you can't have. Dear God, if I could sing, I'd break out right now. I'm satisfied. Look at my hands. My feet did too. Glory be unto God, I'm satisfied with you. You're satisfied. Next time you're going through a valley, next time one of your church members call you, next time one of your brothers or your sister call, when they start doing all that stuff and tell you how deep you are, hold the phone back away from you and say, greetings. Change hands and say, so? So you say a little bit now why this is such a controversial book. Who in the name of God's heaven would want something like that? That is just a normal thing to be tried. We are strange creatures. This book says we are peculiar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why can we be satisfied? We can be satisfied because, thank God, of what we've learned in that state that we're in, to be satisfied with Him and not with the things that He gives us. You listen to me. Nothing wrong with having things. I'd rather have things than nothing. But when those things become a blockade to our God, and they become a stumbling block to our walk with our blessed Lord, then the things become wrong. So He said, listen, let me say something to you tonight. You may have a plenty. You may have a bankroll. You may, I don't know what you have or what you don't have. But James is telling us, listen to me, there's some things that money cannot buy. Let me give you an example. Say your child is in the hospital. on the deathbed. You've got all kind of riches, millionaires and all that stuff. You know people that you run in your social clique that can buy airplanes and anything else they want. But bless God, there comes a time when money will not do it. Influence will not do it. You got to get to the place that you get out and you cry to the God of heaven and say, "Oh God, I need you. Oh God, help me. Oh God, I need you. Help me in this hour. Strengthen me, dear God." Step back and says, "Nevertheless, satisfied." Verse 2, "My brethren," I like that. He ain't talking to a bunch of heathen. No. He's not talking to a bunch of religious folk. Matter of fact, this book tells us pure religion and undefiled. Yeah. "My brethren, last time I checked, that means you're in the same family. Dear God. Look at that next word. You Baptists can do that. Count. Now, does that mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? No. Take it into consideration. Let it fall where it may. Open up the book and look at what God has to say about your trials, because it's a natural thing. Count it. Look at all. Not 99% of it. Not what I think I'm benefiting from. Not what I can figure out and what I can't figure out. But he said, count it all. Then, dear God, this next word blows my mind on how much to do. That firecracker would do it. Count it all joy. Hold on, my child. Joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for night. And bless your heart, I'm talking to people tonight, including this preacher, that knows that statement I just made is so. I'm talking about weeping. I'm talking about sorrowful. I'm talking about down and out. I'm talking about, here comes a word, it's a mean, nasty word, depression. Brother Jamie, I used to nail it to the wall. Somebody tell me when they was depressed, I'd do everything but cuss them out. Bless God, you ain't trusting God. Bless God, you ain't got enough spiritual sense coming out of the rain. Get in your Bible and see the God of heaven. Bless God, He'll take care of why you're depressed. Oh, God. It didn't take long. And the blessed Holy Ghost visited me one night. He didn't have to go far to go because He lives in me. I got so deep in depression. Got my pistols. Walked outside to the mailbox. Cocked the hammer back on a .44 Magnum. Put it to my temple and was thinking to blow my brains out because I had a heart attack. And buddy, people was preaching with me. Diane would come in and she'd say, "I'll be glad you get back." That's the hardest I've heard. She'd come in and she'd say, "Lord God," said, "that was one of the best messages I've heard in my life." They couldn't, if they preached bad, if they preached good, she couldn't tell me right because the devil had me convinced they were going to get rid of me. I could not preach anymore. I couldn't do it. I went 3 months, couldn't do it. One Sunday night, she got out, went to church. I said, "I'm going to end it tonight. I'm going to help this crowd out." And I walked out. I'm talking about an independent Baptist preacher.
I'm talking about a man, thank God, that loves God. I'm talking about a man, bless God, that knows what it is to call upon God and see Him walk on the water. I'm talking about a man that's seen Him work miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm talking about a man that loves God. I'm talking about a man that knew better. Brother Bolton, it just happened. It just happened. The divine providence of God. I looked up, and the biggest moon I'd ever seen in my life. I've seen it for many, many years, but I've never seen it like that. It was just like a light turned on inside of me. The blessed Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't know all that at this time. That's over the years I've cycled this out. But it's like a light turned on. And I let the hammer back. I raised it down. He says, if I hung that, that may seem insignificant to you. It may not be like such a big deal. Well, yeah, God put the He put the stars out there. He hung the sun out there too. But He used the moon that night. And praise God, it wanted to give me a moon fit. My wife has always said, honey, look at that moon. Ain't it romantic? I never have seen anything romantic about the moon. But that night I fell in love with it. She come in. I went back to the house. I was in there, had my Bible on. She come in the door. I said, glory be unto God, honey. I said, I don't care a flip if it was good. I don't care a flip if it was bad. I just don't care a flip. Because we're tonight, this preacher's going back to his pulpit. I want you to know, praise be unto God. God hung the moon. And God showed me that He was in control. What do you say? We're going to go through the valley. We're going to get depressed. We're going to have things to come our way. James says, don't worry about it. Thank God. Be satisfied that God's going to take care of it. Could I just put a footnote right here? That's a whole lot easier preaching this practice. Joy. That word count has to do with the mind. You know how the devil started after this? It ain't the first time he spoke, it's the first recorded words he spoke. Genesis chapter 3. I know it ain't the first time he spoke because it didn't scare the devil out of Eve because they carried on a conversation. That wasn't the first time he had been on her grounds. Son, he's a tempter. He's a deceiver. He's a sweet talker. So when the timing was right, he lowered the moon. And the first thing he does, and God reveals him as, he questioned God's word. You know what you'll do when you get in the valley, and when you get down, and when you get out, you get to the place you feel like you can't go on. If you're not careful, you're going to question God's word. That's the reason you need to heal. That's the reason you need to prescription. That's the reason you need to get into perfect law of liberty. That's the reason you say, I don't understand it, but glory to God. Joy, that is, peace on the inside during trials. I don't know of anybody, if you're in your right mind, you won't be doing this. We'll come in this tabernacle tomorrow night. Come in this tabernacle and swing in a chain in the deepest valley you have been in. Say, glory be unto God, children. I'm in a trial. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let it come. You hypocrite. They told me in school, don't ever let your people know you're discouraged. I don't believe they were Baptists. I'm going to tell you something. I try not to get up there and pull it. And I carry the load. I have to go on. And I'm not talking about a falseness or whatever. Sometimes, if you've been with people 32 years, they're going to know when you're down. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite to my people. And there's been times I've got in my pulpit, I was down. There's been times I've been through some bad. I mean, I was, I didn't know how to handle it, didn't know what to do, didn't know which way to go, didn't know what. So when you don't know what to do, do nothing. Let me just do this and I'll move on quickly. But in the midst of all of that, James is telling us there's something on the inside that gives you peace that passes all understanding. You may be weeping and you may be questioning, you may be wondering, you may be suffering, you may be in the deepest valley of your life, but there's something, if you're real, if you're a real child of God, there's something on the inside that God just keeps pushing you along. It says, I will not leave nor forsake you. I will stay with you through thick and thin. And what I'm doing, preacher, is getting you to the place that you'll appreciate who I am. And you will appreciate that you can't call your friends and talk to them for 2 hours and get comfort. That's fine in and of itself. But you're going to get to the place where none of that will help you at all. You're going to have to get to the place where it's just you and me. I'm a loner. Can't help it. I love God's men. God's opened up doors all over this country for me to preach. I'll go in as long as God opens them up and thank God for it. But where I'm at in my little place up there, with my little flock, I'm a hated preacher. I've been called a heretic. A liar. I've been called a brainwasher. I sent it back and I said, no, no, no. Thank God I preached to the blood-washed crowd. But the only fellowship I run in is the fellowship of His sufferings. But I go to fellowships. I love fellowships. I love being around preachers. I love preachers' meetings. I love camp meetings. I love all of it. I'm not belittling any of that. But it gets right down to the place is, it's going to be you and God. You know why you're here tonight? To get help. Boy, God will help you here at this place where He wouldn't help you somewhere else, maybe. Maybe God will say something to you tonight to get you on down the road for next month. Maybe God will help you here tonight to get you over the hump next week. Maybe you think, I don't need this. Who does He think He is? Hold on my child. Because it's not going to be long before you're going to have to get a new meaning of that word, greetings. But in all of it, that's joy that's bubbling down deep in my soul. Diane had a ladies' meeting last night. The lady who was speaking was preaching on joy. And the theme was, it's bubbling in my soul. Well, I didn't know. I just got happy. Sunday morning, talking about that joy. And she said, I said, I'm to God, honey. It's taking me 2 hours to get word to that man. You want me to just cut it off? She didn't want me to quit preaching. She wanted to move to another point. Because I was getting on her territory. So I just told my sweet wife, so I'm going to tell you something. God gives joy to more than just one. And I said, that crowd you're going to be speaking to tomorrow night, I said, they need to hear it twice anyway. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 3, that's the word, has to do with the heart. Verse 2, count, has to do with the mind. Verse 3, has to do with the heart. Then look at that word in verse 4, let. But let patience have a perfect one. That has to do with the will. Boy, we can have a time right here, but I won't. I'm just going to say this, and you chew it a little bit before you hang out to dry. We always hear about free will man. I'm sick of it. Now, don't hang out to dry. Man is a free moral agent. We always harping on free will of man, free will. What about the free will of God?
Amen.
I'm going to leave this with you.
You know the reason you're saved tonight? Not because of your will. Tonight I was on the road to Halifax, Virginia. 67 Chevelle in the floor. Going through the gears. I reached and pulled the back into sucking and it swapped out. The Holy Ghost says, stop. I had been witnessed to at the hospital previous to that. I had been witnessed to about a year previous to that. Done made two or three professions to get them off my back. I knew the plan of salvation better than some of the people over the church. Shoot, I see them coming, son. I could tell them. I said, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Praise God. I repented of my sin. Called upon Jesus Christ. Believed he died on that cross. Laid in that tomb. Rose the third day. I hadn't shouted what he said. Something different that night. Those gears never changed the same after that. I backed up, went back down to where they had that meeting, rolled my glass down. That preacher come out there and he said, can I help you? I said, I need somebody to help me. He opened up his book, read me the plan of salvation. Now don't hang back to that. I'm telling you the book. Brother Ken, if I had never said a word, my heart had changed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tried to quit. I tried to change it. I tried to do it. I tried all of that. But you know, God don't try anything. God saved my rich, wretched, miserable soul. I couldn't hardly wait to get on to the hospital, tell my wife that I got saved. You know what she said? We'll see. But that has to do with the will that God changes. And I'm willing to do anything he wants me to do. Don't let that choke you. You're saved tonight. You're saved because the amazing sovereign grace of God. All that does is knock the props out from under humanistic thinking and human beings and lets them know they are what they are by the grace of God. You know where you'd be if God hadn't stopped at your place. You know where you'd be if God hadn't done that work in your heart. You know where you'd be if God hadn't reached and handcuffed your soul and arrested you and brought you unto the throne of heaven. You know where you'd be tonight. You'd be in hell. But thanks be unto God. It won't up to you. It won't up to him. I'm going to tell you something. I'll never apologize for preaching this book. I don't care about flip if people understand it. I don't care if you know what I'm talking about or not. I know that God's the author of salvation. And I do know this, children. If you're his, you're coming in. And when you get in, think it not strange, for it's no strange thing that he's found. Oh, God. Patience. That word patient means, let's do it. Pressure. You ever been under any pressure? Them old pressure pots. I was on, raised on a farm. My professor corrected me when I was preaching one night. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, no, brother Seamster, you were not raised. You were reared. I said, oh, do say. He said, animals are raised. Humans are reared. I said, well, we got a humanistic nature and an animal nature.
I'm talking to people tonight who's been raised. But you put that old pot on that stove, that water gets to boil in, you got those cans and they'll got it sealed and all those things. And boy, that thing gets to boil and all and it just goes. Well, she'll do the jiggering. Yeah. And when that thing is right, my mama says, she shoots right up and she locks the precious inside. She'd take that thing off of that stove, set it over there for a little while. She said, now don't go around it. You may not like this analogy, but you better not go around a bunch of Baptists when they got pressure on them. They'll blow up on you. But Renee, I'd be sad more than one time. I've heard that thing would start cooling down, cooling down, cooling down. And that little cap that would shoot right up and be stuck. When that thing would get cool enough and it'd be the pressure, it would pop down. Then she'd take that lid and go, no pressure whatsoever. And that which was inside was ready. God puts the pressure on you. God turns the fire up on you. God puts the pressure on us. Thanks be unto God. So He can get us ready. Ready for what? To prove that He's God and besides Him there's none else. And thank God He's too good to do wrong and too wise to make a mistake. Fourth virtue. Maturity. Many are spiritual babies on bottles. I'm just going to quit in a minute because I don't want to overdo my time. Listen to this, because I'm telling you. If you don't get anything else I said tonight, don't you jump up. You're going through hell by the acre. Buddy, you in the deepest valley you've probably ever been in. You got everything coming after you that you know what's coming after you. You can't, and then more coming on you. Don't you jump up and raise your hands and say, pray for me. I'm in a trial. Listen to me. Because 90% of the stuff we go through is not a trial. We bring it on ourselves. If you're disobedient, if I'm disobedient, if I openly go against this book, and I have, and you have, and all of us have, if we do that and we fight hell by the ankle, the first thing you better do is get in on your knees, and we'll see that a little bit later. Get in on your knees and pray and say, God, search me, see what's wrong with me. Show me any unclean thing in me. Show me, God, if it's something I've done. Show me if I'm disobedient. Show me if I need to get this right. You know what He'll do? He will. If it's chastisement, you can't call it a trial. You call that a whipping. You're not going to be disobedient to God and get by with it. God don't send you to the room to take your computer away from you for 2 hours. God don't park your car in a garage for a day and not let you drive it. If you're disobedient to God, He'll have to take your wheels off of it and you won't drive it again. Verse 4, we're to be well balanced. I'm just going to give you this and quit. You can't straddle the fence to serve God.
God said, a double-minded man said, you're unstable in all your ways. You can't do it. You need to make up your mind. You're going with God. You need to make up your mind. Come hell or high water, you're going to go with God. You need to make up your mind that God is good. And praise be unto God. His peace passes all understanding. And God has never done anything for one of His children to hurt them. He always helps them. And a sound will make you bitter or it'll make you better. And God has designed that it makes you better. Verse 5, the secret of stability is prayer. And if you like wisdom, what does he say? Let him what? Ask. It doesn't say call the preacher. Now I know this. That's good. Let him ask. Let him ask for what? Wisdom. Listen, the wisdom in the context of this chapter in this book is in your particular trial. Because see, you don't know what to do in a trial. I don't know what to do in a trial. It's a new thing for me, although it's not a strange thing. This one I'm going through. Now, I handled this one. No, I didn't handle it. God handled it through me. God helped me through this one. I got through it. But if I hadn't went through this one back here, I wouldn't have known that He could take care of me back here. And I wouldn't know that He could take care of me here. But what James' whole jest is, look, no matter how deep the trial, no matter how big the trial, no matter how much the trial, no matter what you're in, no matter what you're going through, you look back at what God has brought you through. You look back at what God has done for you. Do you look back at what God is doing for you? If He done it then, He'll do it now.
Amen.
Don't say half God said. Say God had said. So the secret of your trials is asking God for wisdom. Prayer. You can't pray too much, huh? And God knows where to go in 50 directions. But then there's the sense of direction. Nothing wavering. God specializes in that which is impossible. You may not agree with what I'm thinking to say, but chew it around a little bit before you hang me. The things that are possible, God's not going to do. You can search it from Genesis to Revelation. The things that are possible and God requires you to do, God is not going to do. Why? Because God specializes in doing that which is impossible. Do you realize it was impossible to save you? Three men can never save himself. Because God does the saving, it's an impossible situation. And let God do it, and God specializes in that which is impossible. It's not possible for you to get through a trial on your own. So you got to call the God of the impossible. How, in the name of God's heaven, can I go on from week to week to week, month, year to year, specializing and looking to the God that specializes in doing that which is impossible? How do we ask? Faith. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. I'm going to say this and I'm done. In your Christian life, you are saved by grace through faith. It's a one-time done deal. No degrees whatsoever. You don't almost get saved. You don't almost have salvation. You don't almost look to God. You're either saved or you're lost. That faith, saving faith, has no degrees. You either have it or you don't. God gives it to you or He won't. Now, four times in the Gospels, or three times in the Gospel, one time in James, we're told about degrees of faith. Your own, when you get home tonight, read these verses. Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, why is it that you have no faith? Mark, Matthew chapter 14, God says, why is it that you have little faith? Matthew chapter 8, to the centurion, he says, I've not seen so great faith. But dear God, the whole book of James is what God is trying to get us to see, and where he wants to bring us to in verse 22 of chapter 2 talks about perfect faith. They are the four degrees of faith, and you are in one of those categories tonight. Wonder why you're having trials? Think it no strange thing. Because sometimes we exercise no faith, saying God won't or God can't. Sometimes we exercise little faith, saying God can, but He won't. Sometimes we exercise great faith. It says God can do it, and thank God, God will do it. But there's a few times in our walk with God, God's got us to the place we said, glory be unto God. God can do it, wants to do it, and has already done it. Hallelujah. That's perfect faith. And that's the reason the trials come your way. Think it no strange thing when God tries you, for the fiery trials are to mature you and get you to the place in your Christian life that you're operating in perfect faith.